You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here as part of the FinTech Fun podcast series, which we've reinitiated for 2024. I'm joined by Pat Dalton, a Chief Operating Officer, as well as founder of Ugo Direct Group. Pat, thanks so much for being part of this series and welcome to 2024. It's a bit late, but you are the first guest.
Great, Chris. Appreciate your interest.
Ugo Direct is a company which some are familiar with, but a lot in the ecosystem are probably not overly familiar with. Do you want to go back to the history of Ugo Direct Group, Pat, the early days, how the business began and what was the problem at the time that you were trying to solve?
Yeah, great, Chris. Well, my background is in data-driven marketing and I had worked with a few of the larger companies in data-driven marketing in the early 90s. And what was becoming quite apparent at that time was there was no company that was really specialising in data-driven marketing and propensity modelling to look in large data sets or databases for marketing and trying to find the diamonds in the data. And so I had a passionate interest in data mining and working with a couple of clients that I was working with at the time, they expressed some interest to say, you know, if you could come into our business and provide us insights and help us get our marketing to work stronger, and stronger being getting better response rates to marketing. Marketing, especially data-driven marketing, is all about response rates. So I worked with a couple of large organisations in Melbourne and Sydney and worked with their data team and their marketing team in coming up with new strategies and new data models of being interrogating their data so that we could roll out campaigns. And during that process, we were getting really good response rates to the point that they took me into their businesses and tried to roll that out on a fairly ongoing basis. So it was a bit cutting edge at the time. So from there, we were doing a lot of data-driven marketing. Most of that was direct mail at the time. And then back in 2004, we were looking at ways of trying to get marketing to respond better. Back in 2004, most of the loyalty programs in Australia were a bit like the Qantas Club. You made a purchase, that purchase got recorded, and then you would have access to a portal, go into the portal, and you could select burn your points into a red toaster. Yep. And in 6 or 12 weeks, that might arrive at your doorstep.
I remember back in the day, it was also like the shareholder discounts going back a bit with the old Kyle's Myer card.
Yes, that was certainly of interest of the day. And that was probably mostly due to the limitation in loyalty and offers. Yep. And the technology available at the time.
There you go. Sorry to interrupt, a bit of nostalgia there.
No, that's fine. So back in 2004, when we were looking to find innovative ways of being able to get the direct marketing to respond more, we looked at what was happening over in the US and the UK market, and we discovered that they were using branded prepaid Visa cards and putting them on the direct mail pack, fully customised to the brand that they were promoting, and they were getting really good response rates. And so we thought, well, that's really novel. We'll try and bring that into Australia.
There you go. And that was the origins of Ugo Direct. Can I ask how the name, it's quite a upfront and straightforward name, but how did that name begin? And did you sort of toss and turn over what the name of the business was going to be called?
Well, no, I was pretty definitive at the outset. We work with both agencies and brands direct. And when we work with brands direct, we can actually influence the decisions. We can get our opinion pitched in and work alongside in partnership with the brand when we go through an agency, there's always another step in there. So as we were direct marketers, we chose to call it I Go Direct, and where we work with the clients direct or the brands direct, we get a better response.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Now, your customers now, and obviously that was 20 years ago, so the business has evolved and developed over that time into different types and different forms and different clients. Can you talk about who your clients are now, what they do, and the services that you provide to add value to them?
Yeah, sure. So predominantly we work with ASX listed companies, anyone who has a large customer base, and those companies are always trying to look at ways of acquiring profitable new customers, nurturing customers, and trying to get the next logical product in their hands or getting the next sale from them, and then also winning back or trying to re-engage lapsed customers. So pretty well every corporate has those issues today, and we work with them in acquiring, nurturing, and trying to win back. And predominantly we use our prepaid gift cards and incentives to enable those type of interactions.
So it's a sort of a B2B, but then a B2C end user customer type of business. Is that the way you sort of describe it?
Yeah, so we work with the companies who have the customers,
yep.
And we sit behind them as the engine room in fueling all the activities that the business does to actually engage with their own end customers.
Now, do you think in this sort of macro environment where there is a sort of a cost of living crisis, people are more aware of loyalty programs and more aware of the importance of, I suppose, for gift cards and for rewards and for redemption of points, etc.?
Yeah, so we're definitely seeing more engagement with loyalty programs over the last couple of years. But at the start of COVID, when people were locked down, we saw that there was a huge demand for gift cards where people weren't allowed to get out of home. They were gifting and rewarding staff who were locked up at home. We saw a surge at that time. And then since the economy's tightened up, what we're seeing is people who are doing everyday shopping are engaging better with marketplaces and loyalty programs where they can actually get points and or benefits from doing everyday shopping.
And have you got some sort of data around like the largest loyalty programs? I mean, the ones that come to mind are Qantas and Virgin. And then I noticed the other day that Super Retail Group ended up having 11 million members through all their different, you know, Rebel Sports and et cetera. I mean, it seems like it's a growing thing. And the issuance of gift cards branded also creates, I suppose, another element of loyalty and branding. Can you talk about the impact of that and how people are fully aware of the brand when they get something actually, which is a gift card with the company's logo on it?
Yes, so with the loyalty programs, generally overall, loyalty programs are becoming more popular. Customers want to be able to engage a brand where they can earn rewards and get rewarded for doing their everyday shopping. Where we have gift cards in a marketplace or a loyalty program, it is the number one redemption of any product or service that a consumer buys.
Yeah. It's not the taster
and where
anymore.
There's a brand associated with it, obviously every time they make a purchase, they're pulling that brand out and having that positive association with the purchase.
Wow. And some recent news from your company as well in regards to a partnership with Visa. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So we've been fortunate enough to be granted a Visa Principal Partnership license. And that's a license for issuing in Australia. That came about because last year when Visa were sponsoring their Women's World Cup across Australia and New Zealand, they were looking for a partner that could help them stand up a physical and digital Visa card across the 10 venues across two countries. Now, whilst it was a short time frame that we were able to do it in, we partnered with them and we delivered a flawless service for them. And that in turn resulted in us being invited to apply for our own issuing license, which we now have. And we'll be releasing our own products and issuing our own Visa products into the market from April this year. So we're pretty excited about that. Mm. We're one of the few in our vertical in Australia and New Zealand that has a principal partnership, and that will open up thousands of more doors through innovation, disruption in prepaid and gift cards in Australia.
And also on the back of that, I believe that you've got your Australian Financial Services license. Can I talk about the importance of that and sort of some product innovation moving forward?
Yeah, sure. So we've been seeking to get our financial services license for about the last 12, 18 months. They're not easy to get. And the compliance is quite heavy. Yep. So we're quite fortunate that we've now come through the end of that. And now that we have a financial services license issued by ATSIC, that's enabled us to complete the Visa Principal Partnership issuing license. And it also enables us to be an issuer, distributor, as well as the marketer of the gift cards. Mm. So in April, which is next month, we'll be the first in APAC to be delivering a gift card that is web to wallet. So we've taken all the friction out of having to download an app. Our customers, both the corporates and their end customers, have told us that there's a lot of friction around receiving a gift card as a surprise and delight, but having the pain of having to download an app, which people are not comfortable in this phishing sort of environment.
True.
And so we're taking that friction out of it so we can deliver a seamless customer experience, and that will enable gift cards, promotions, cashback, sweepstakes. So it opens up our whole services to all new markets.
Yes, right. And that makes sense in terms of a link that people get, and you're like, oh, I don't know, well, this is legitimate. And particularly, it says you've got $20 or something. It's like, oh, you know, it's going to be a bit tricky and a bit sort of hesitant to download. I'm interested on the web to wallet capabilities and also the use cases for corporates. You mentioned some there, some verticals. Can you give us sort of an example of a company that may use your, you don't have to name the company, but sort of company X, of what the capabilities and functionalities would be with this web to wallet?
Yes, so we work across all vertical brands, being alcohol, white goods, B2B, B2C. But one that comes to mind where we'll be introducing this next month is, you may have an alcohol brand that's promoting something at a sporting venue or a AFL match or something like that. If the trains are delayed or if there's any reason for them to be able to get their brand front and centre, they'll be able to push out a gift card pretty well instantly to anyone that's on their customer base and basically sort of say, hey, you know, congratulations, your footy team's won, have a beer on us, go to your local venue and use this branded gift card and shout your mates. So it really opens up the whole speed to market, frictionless, and enables us to create brand and customer loyalty.
You know what would be great with that? It was a bit of weather overlay, particularly in Brisbane, where here when it's a cold day, that your local coffee shop downstairs can get some data and people are like, oh, free coffee because it's raining or something along those lines. That'd be amazing. I'm sure there's lots of different ways that you can actually slice and dice that, particularly with geolocation membership, as well as attracting loyalty, like stadiums and brands that you mentioned. Interested to know, obviously this is a very busy part of the year for you with these launches and also the use cases that are coming forward, but moving forward in the next 12 months, let's say we repeat the podcast this time next year, where would you like to see the business?
Yeah, so we're working with some large entities at the moment where the future of gift cards and loyalty in Australia is very much around card linking, taking friction out of getting people into an ecosystem. And there's a lot of interest in mobility, in being able to use Visa prepaid cards and using the Rails scheme to connect purchases with customers at a large scale. So we see that the scheme cards will be the link of loyalty going forward.
Pat, I always ask this question to entrepreneurs or founders of businesses, one piece of advice that sort of or pieces of advice that they have got through their careers that would be useful for potential entrepreneurs and also current founders out there that might find it a little bit tricky navigating this macro environment. Is there something there that sort of sticks with you throughout your day-to-day process or something that you've lived by for a while?
It's hard to be an entrepreneur and back yourself the whole way. I think the first 5 years is the hardest and the second 5 years is probably just as hard. But what I've learned over the period of time is you've got to back yourself. You know, you believe in what you're doing. When it's when it gets tough, what most people consider quitting, that's when you've really got to dig deep and put your back against the wall. Failure's not an option, so you dig deeper and you find solutions and you end up creating innovative answers to problems that you didn't think you'd ever find. So that would be my one piece of advice.
That's a great piece of advice, and it's very relevant. And the interviews that I've done over many years now is that there is dark times, and there's also some times where you think you just want to throw the towel in, but that's the time that innovation and creativity comes to the forefront. Pat, it's always been a pleasure, having a chat to you today for the first time and introducing IGO Direct to the FinTech Fund Network. Congratulations on what you have achieved through those 20 years and also some very exciting times ahead, and look forward to catching up.
Great. Thanks, Chris. And I appreciate your interest in our products and services and the business. Thank you.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred, untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.